Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. If you want to join us on the program today, it's 1-800-229-3000, and you can, wherever you want, you can listen on the New Life app, you can listen on your local, your local radio, but also you could watch and listen on YouTube. And when I say us, one of those us's is Milan Yurkovich. Hi, Milan.
Well, hi, Steve. I am so glad to be one of those us's.
Yeah.
And to be with you today.
And Jill Hubbard will join us shortly. But Milan, I'm just not flattering you at all when I say this, but you and Kay have really caused folks to think differently about their marriage and what might be the cause of some of the struggle and what might be the solution. You really do take them, folks, in a different direction, and of course I've heard therapists say they've changed the way they are practicing in with folks. Talk about that a little bit. How did you come to understand that attachment, the way we were raised, all of that had such an impact today? While often you would hear in the Christian community, don't look back, it doesn't matter, everything's new, that kind of thing.
Well, that is a very complex question. There's a lot of facets to it, so I'm going to just give you a few highlights.
Okay.
First of all, we discovered attachment research and attachment science. My wife did in her graduate school education and with her supervisor, and we began to realize that what we learned about attachment experiences of the early child, there were descriptors that are visible within children by the time they're 18 months old that mark them as either emotionally avoidant and dismissive or hypervigilant and angry or secure. And so we realized that we had some of these attributes. And so we began to work on us, Kay and I.
Yeah.
And eventually we began to see that when you put these various attachment styles together, it would create reactive patterns. And so we tamed our pattern. We tamed it and conquered it. And so it was no longer driving the bus in our home.
Okay, now, so let me stop you right there.
Yes.
So what you're saying is first you see that these attachment style differences are there.
Right.
And that they cause the conflict or much of the conflict that you're going through. So you get some insight that you didn't have before.
Well, that's absolutely true. And then we had to listen to what God wanted us to do, which was to learn to be self-aware of what we were feeling. We had to learn to speak the truth in love. We had to learn to listen to each other thoroughly. And then we had to learn to comfort one another. So that became the comfort circle. But we began teaching this in the mid-90s. 1990, and everybody said, gosh, you need to turn this into a book. And we eventually did, and then it took off. Again, this isn't Milan and Kay's little pet theory. This was based on 70 years of attachment research. And then I asked the question, who invented the human attachment experience? Well, God did. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it goes great, and sometimes it doesn't go quite as great, and sometimes it doesn't go well at all. Well, the child pays a penalty for that. And so we can change it with our adult behaviors and obedience to God.
And if you're not aware of this, you might be shocked to learn that the person you adore, let's say you literally adore them before you're married, all of that you adore, you can come to resent pretty quickly if you don't understand what's going on. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Jill Hubbard has joined us. Hi, Jill. Welcome.
Hello, guys.
So, Mylan, I want to go back to this. We were talking about these styles, and you said then you know, once you learn the style and why it's creating conflict, then you had to learn and eventually get to a place where you're comforting each other.
Right.
It is to some people it seems like how impossible it would be to go from the conflict to now we're comforting each other because they're bickering, they're angry, they're bitter all the time. But it really does happen. You can get there.
Well, that is one of the interesting things about what we do in our offices. We take a couple that is, as you describe, bickering or in strife, and we teach them to listen to one another's soul. Now, we put them into a position where the therapist in the office is the referee, but not to referee a disagreement, but to hold them in a place where they are listening to the other person. Eventually what happens, they begin to develop empathy for what they hear and compassion. And so this is the coolest part. I get very excited about it. The very person that dysregulates you at the beginning, excuse me, is going to be the person that regulates you as you earn your way towards secure attachment. And instead of splitting couples up and having them work on their own stuff, we keep them together so they have to learn to be regulated and regulate themselves and one another. So both internal regulation of self and external regulation of other takes place. It's amazing to watch.
Well, it's so beyond let's go improve our communication skills, which a lot of people will do, and you need communication skills, but some people just learn how to say they hate each other better through communication skills.
But Steve, this is improving your communication skills.
It's transforming
it,
I would say.
Communication on a much deeper level, right? It's emotional communication.
Right. Yeah. And it was terrifying at first, I might tell you both and the rest of our listeners. When Kay and I first started this, we were like shaking. It was so hard and fearful to try to describe my emotions and then share it with one another. We had to push ourselves through a frightening stretch of water there, you know, as you know, we're lifeguards, so we know what dangerous water looks like. So anyhow,
glad you did.
Crossing my metaphors over there, but the point is we had to work ourselves through something. But what we gained?
Oh my gosh! And what everybody else has gained from your work?
Yes.
And
we're very humbled because we could have never imagined our material would go to where it's gone.
Well, I'm glad that it has.
And
anybody that wants to experience that, well, there is the book How We Love, but also we do the intensive this summer in person, Washington, D.C. You can find out about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Right now, we're going to go to Joy. She has phoned us at the number anybody can phone us on, and that is 1-800-229-3000. So let's talk to Joy, who just happens to be calling us from Port Orchard, Washington. Hi, Joy. Welcome to New Life.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
All right. So I will just go right into the facts, as they say. But so situation is, had realized I've been married for 21 years and had an episode that took place over this last summer that really stretched my boundary. Basically, I won't really go into all the information there, but to let you know that it just really arose a real hot flag within me, and knowing that my marriage was very unhealthy. And from
we just need a little bit. Was it unfaithfulness? Was it violence? What? Just something headline.
Okay. I'm trying to be so sensitive to your time. I'm sorry. So anyway, my daughter did have a beautiful marriage. She got married here in Grandma's backyard. And mm-hmm. she explained to me that she was uncomfortable with having my husband at the wedding. And that was her choice. And so she said, no. Well, meanwhile, I've got my husband saying, there's one thing that I want, and this is what you should do because you're a godly Christian woman. I have to be there at the wedding. So you need to make a choice, and God first, I'm second. So I was in this, you know, thing, and I made a choice, and that choice was my daughter's choice was to say no. And I'm sorry that that makes you feel bad and uncomfortable, but I'm going to allow her, I'm going to stand behind her on this one.
Yeah.
And Joy, so is that, created, Joy, is your husband her father or stepdad?
Father. Stepdad.
Okay.
Okay, so we get it.
So this created World War III. I realized I need help. This is totally toxic. I got myself into a counselor, and so did he. So we're both seeing the same counselor separately. That has been 6 months, fast forward from summer. Here we are now. There's been different things that have happened. Our counselor said, you need a break, because he's using you as a punching bag, and you're in a verbal emotional abusive relationship for 21 years.
All right.
So I separated. I left. I'm living here at my mom's house, which I'm so grateful for. I just inherited the house. So I'm living here. He's seeking counseling. My question, and I'm working on counseling. I'm going to celebrate recovery, working on my steps, reading books, doing everything I can. And I also just found out about the ACEs, and he comes from an abusive childhood, which I didn't know, and he ranks about 6 on those ACEs.
Okay.
Does he? Does a leopard change his stripes? Can a leopard really change his stripes?
In other words, do we think there could be some kind of hope for your marriage?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, why don't we start with you, Mylon, and then we'll go to Jill. What do you think in hearing something like this? And, well, let me just ask you a question first. Why doesn't your daughter want him there? What's the source of that?
He treated her poorly, meanly, and she just has unresolved anger towards him.
She wanted to what?
It's just a lot of hurt from her childhood being raised with him.
Okay, and has he ever tried to make that right or acknowledge it, or he just thinks she's got a problem?
He has.
Okay. All right. Mylon, I'll go to you now.
Well, Joy, this is really a difficult situation. And I empathize with the difficulty of where you find yourself. Keeping in mind that lepers have spots, not stripes, so we'll straighten that out.
So the answer is no. I guess the answer is no.
So no. Yeah, the leopard can't change his stripes.
No,
but
too bad.
Okay. But
that is some leopard, let me tell
you.
That
is quite some stripy leopard is what that is. But, Joy, I'm glad you got a little kick out of a very tough situation here. And, you know, the Bible says you reap what you sow. The Bible also says you sow to the wind and you reap a whirlwind. So, your husband with a high ACE score of 6, 10 is the highest, tells us that he grew up in a very hurtful, abusive situation as a child, and he was harmed a lot. And we don't grow out of that, Joy. We actually carry it with us in terms of reactivity. And one of the things that probably your husband was or still is coming from a chaotic, disorganized home is he's highly controlling. And the control is for the purpose of maintaining conformity to what he wants. It is not control for the purpose of creating emotional closeness. And I think your husband has to understand, if he in fact has been this way for her whole life, that he is having to pay, if you will, for his behavior. And he can repent of that, and it's going to take a long time to show your daughter that he really means that, and for him to become nurturing and for him to begin to heal. I'm very sad that you put up with that for 21 years, if it was everything that you say it is. But I think your daughter is a good reflection of what health is. The angry adolescent, the angry young woman, the angry young man who draws a boundary like that is often the healthiest because they go, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to let him control or invade or ruin. So I would leave it in a situation where you tell him if he wants you back, if you're willing to consider going back, he has to really prove to you that he is working on his history. And the way that we heal our history is through acknowledgement of its reality and then grief at that, and then anger at the past, not anger in the present. And he has work to do, if everything you tell us is accurate.
Jill, your thoughts here.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, we don't demand our way into relationship.
That's right.
You know, weddings, Joy, highlight a lot of things. They're wonderful events. I was just at a wedding this weekend. Wonderful. They're great, right? There's so much work that goes into them. But they highlight both the good in families and the not so good because they're events that just have so much meaning, right? So, you know, if I had had my wish, I wished your daughter would have maybe brought this up a year before the wedding, right? So there would have been some time to work on this. But often we don't even realize what we want or don't want until the wedding is here. And so now for your husband, the questions should be, wow, the fact that she would set that boundary, yes, I do have some work to do, and I am so grieved that my stepdaughter feels that way about me. And to be really broken in that instead of demanding a position and demanding relationship. And that's really what you need to see from him. And it's hard for people to get to, right? We want to defend ourselves. That's just a natural reaction.
But the issue isn't whether, like Jill is saying, the issue isn't whether about the choice of the wedding or not. The issue is the emotional and relational separation that has been created.
Yeah.
And that is a huge signal that something's really wrong here. That's the issue.
Right.
And
right.
We end up thinking it's, well, you need to say yes, you need to change your mind. It's about the issue of the wedding. No, it's not. It's about the deeper systemic problem that faces us.
Okay, so one final comment for it. Go ahead. Yes, what concerns you is?
Oh, what concerns me is, how did I stay married for 21 years and not rise up and say, this is totally wrong and I'm out of here?
But that's your work.
That is. Your daughter had to do it for you, Joy.
That's right.
Right? And sometimes we get so close to something and we get in that survival and we just keep holding on.
Yes.
Right? And limping along because the alternative, it's almost like we can't even think about it. Now you're having to think about it and you're asking really, really good questions, Joy.
Yeah. This isn't in the Bible, but it's one of the laws of the universe. The bride gets her way for her wedding. And when she decides that this group of people don't get invited or like some person isn't wanted there, I feel sad that it took a wedding for that person to find out how serious the problem is. I feel sad that they didn't work on this, work on the relationship as the person grew up. But I got to tell you, if I was that father and Madeline said to me, Dad, I just don't want you at the wedding, I would weep, I would search myself, I would feel like a failure. And I would go to her and I would say, okay, I will not come to your wedding, but tell me, how can I repair this? Because life is too short. I am so sorry.
Amen.
But that isn't what he did.
Yeah.
He became more demanding. And it's been 6 months of counseling. And so I'm thinking the zebra is not changing the spots there, even with that kind of work. We'll take a break and come right back for more New Life.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And Mylon, you had a thought here at the break you wanted to share.
Well, Joy is off the air, but it's important for Joy to also to answer the very question she raised. Why did I do this for this length of time? Why did I not resist?
Why did she resist?
Why did I not resist?
Oh, not resist. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what Joy has to add to that is, well, what were my characteristics in my first marriage? Because she told us that her daughter is from a previous marriage. And then Joy has to also ask the question of herself, when in my history, how old was I when I learned not to resist, but to just be quiet and take whatever was thrown at me? Odds are there's some answers there that need to be looked at for Joy. And so what happens is you take a chaotic, disorganized controller like her husband, and you take a passive non-resister like Joy, and it creates a classic core pattern that we describe in our book, Steve, How We Love, and it doesn't work.
Right, which I think, though, before she's ready to call it quits, and she was asking about hope, I think they need to go to the marriage intensive.
Right.
Because I think there's so much wisdom there, Mylon, just like what you were describing. And whether you stay together or not, you learn a lot about yourself in relationship.
Right.
And a lot of marriages actually come through as a result.
And if it doesn't help you, which it's pretty rare that it doesn't help somebody, but if it doesn't, you truly can say to yourself, to God and your children, you did everything you could. But let me just say this. If you marry somebody and you have children, it is your job to be sure the person you married is treating the children you bring into the marriage fairly.
Right.
And kindly and in a godly way. And the second that there's anything but that, you need to be sitting in front of a counselor with that person saying, I can't allow my child to be treated this way. I didn't have any idea that this might happen. Well, and you need to get it taken care of.
Well, right. And the thing about second marriages is the children did come first. And you can't pretend that they didn't. Right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that has to be
Jill, how many times, Jill, have we heard this, that, you know, a couple gets married, they step into a step situation with stepchildren, but they insist that they come before the children.
Mm-hmm.
They say the marriage has a higher rank than the previous relationship with the children. And that's just not fair.
Well,
I've known my children a lot longer than I knew than I know my new wife.
Now, the exception, though, to that, Mylon, is we also hear the scenarios where one of the spouses brings the previous children in, and they're a nightmare for the new spouse, and it's a lot of enabling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. So
no.
There is a hierarchy of husband and wife, but the children have a priority there.
They
and
do.
You can't expect, a new spouse cannot expect her spouse to give up the children for
her. That's right.
Don't go into it expecting that.
And this begs the question, how thorough is the premarital counseling to explore these two histories and say, look, you guys, you're on a collision course. With all these factors going on, let's talk them through now before you get married. What are you going to be like with her children? What
let's
are you going
burst
to
burst that fantasy bubble.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. It's really fun.
Let's burst the fantasy bubble.
Yes.
I hope every person considering blending a family is listening to this. It really is helpful information, what Mylon and Jill are saying. Mm-hmm. And which leads me to, you know, I get criticized for saying this, but if you're thinking about blending a family, it's probably not a good idea. Why do I say that? Because more bad situations are created than good. So you really ought to consider, should we get married? Should we wait till the kids get in college? Or is this one of those situations where it really could work out great. And I'm not saying this because I did it and it worked out terribly. We did it and our kids
love great.
All the kids love each other. They love spending time together. And I love her kids as if they were mine. And I think they really are now. So there is a right way to do it. There just aren't many people that are doing it, and they're going
in. Except, Steve, when you marry someone, even if it's a first marriage, you are blending families, right? And it's a period of time. You have to learn that other person's culture that they grew up in, their family culture. And so that's a kind of experience that most people have when they get married.
Yeah.
And it's tough just doing that. So then you add the layer of second marriages and kids, and, it takes a lot of time to blend a family. And a lot of intention.
You're not really marrying their family. You're just marrying the way the family messed them up. And that's a little clarification. Ryan, what are you thinking?
And they're still recovering from their last relationship.
Yeah.
So I don't use the word blended family because I think for the high majority of cases, they're very difficult to blend. We use that term.
They can be.
But I call them step families because they are. And I try to erase the blendable concept that it's going to take a lot of work to make that happen, and it's just not so easy. So let's call it a step family, and then if you get to the place where Steve's at, we can call that a blended family.
There's a step to blendedness.
There is.
Right?
Hard work to blendedness.
Yes, there's several steps.
And you might be thinking, oh, it's going to be so great, we'll all live in the same house. And one set of kids, at least, are thinking, oh, this is a hostage situation.
Heck no.
Yeah, it's a forced family to them.
Yeah.
I need a hostage negotiator here or I'm going to be in trouble. All right. That's why we say that. If you're going to come together, do it cautiously. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number. This Saturday, a lot of guys can take care of two things, anger and lust, at the Everyman's Battle Workshop. Change your life. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're going to just take a break for a second from marital discord to marital bliss. Larry Sonnenberg in the studio, and he has that with Rhonda, and we've all witnessed. Larry, what do you have for us today here?
Well, I want to remind folks, I got two things, but let me do this first. I want to remind folks about our matching gift. You know, we had a group that got together and shared financially what they could do in terms of donations to support New Life, and they said, put it out as a matching gift. We're asking, and they've encouraged us to put deadline May 31. It started at $459,000, and we're at $425,000 now. So
in matches?
Yeah, that's what we need to get. No, we still need to get $425,000.
Okay, I was all excited.
I'd like to get excited. So, folks, if you could reverse it, get Jill excited.
I was where you were, Jill.
I know. Yeah. Like, really?
No, we
just have that much to go.
We have that much to go.
Okay, well, we're just kind of starting, right?
So we got to get it going. The new thing is we have you can text to give. If you text the word match to 28950, you can join the match that simply.
And again, when you give a dollar, it causes a dollar to be released instantly.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to have happen, and we got to meet this deadline. So help us, please. Anything else, Larry, you want to mention?
Yeah, I do. Well, I'd like to keep mentioning that for a long time. So, but folks, okay. It makes a difference, and it helps a lot of people. And yep. That's what we're here for. You know, Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. And that's what we're trying to do, and you can help us do that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, it's lose it for life. It's every man's battle this Saturday. And join us, please, guys. Here's a quick testimony might encourage you. I was nervous about how long it was and opening up, and even that no one was going to be as bad as I am, or that there would only be a couple of us, and I'd feel even more isolated or alone in my battle. Now, this is a guy that came to one of our online workshops. Then I get in and see that the diversity of age, race, issues that we're battling. I was much less lonely, and I have much more hope. If I have a chance to fight this battle, I do now. So, you guys, the group, the reason he experiences that hope and he saw the diversity so closely was he was in a small group. Mm-hmm. And in that group, lives change. People do a lot of hard work. They share openly. And you guys... And ladies, for your husband, you know that you can get some help. Just call us. We have a scholarship money available if you have a need. So just call, ask for some help, and let us help you.
And I did say anger and lust. You know, if you've got a problem with lust, you have a problem with anger. It is there. And everybody that comes through, you don't just stop lusting. You get on a path to where lust is no longer the dominating force, nor the anger that actually is driving the lust. If you want to be free, you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'd love to see you there.
And the text to give number one more time is 28950, and you just text the word MATCH, 28950 to MATCH. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry. Let's go back to the phones, and we will talk with Alice from Memphis, Tennessee, listening online there. Hello, Alice. Welcome to New Life, and how are you, and how can we help you today?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Very well. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Okay, great. I'm calling because I wanted, I guess, some insight on what is really happening here, because
okay.
I really feel like I'm in a warp or something. So I've been married for about 6 years, and my husband has been, I don't know if he, how long it's been, but I've discovered that he had a visit with his ex-girlfriend who lives way out of town. So he got on a flight and flew.
How did you find out?
I saw his email where he had tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked him about it, I said, well, why did you take this trip and who did you go see? And he's like, I didn't take this trip.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, and so he continued to deny that he went to see her, and I eventually said, well, if you can't tell me what's going on, why you even had to do that, you know, we can talk about, you know, at least discuss what the problem is, and he would not, so I asked him to move out, and he did.
Okay.
And so he had been out for, I don't know, maybe about 6 or 7 months after my confrontation with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, well, before I asked him to move out, I asked if we could do counseling. And he's like, I don't need counseling because there's nothing wrong. And so that's what I asked him.
Okay.
And so then he, so about after 6 months or so with him being out, he came and said, look, yes, I did this, and it was wrong, and I don't want to be without this marriage. I want to make our marriage work. I want to reconcile. I want to be back with you.
Could I move in today? Was that the question? Could I move in today? Move back in?
Well, he did not ask if he could move in, but he wanted me to suggest that he do. But that's not what I said, because I was not sure that his time alone, his time out, had been faithful.
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
Right. So bring us up to speed so we can help you here. What are things like today, and how could we help?
Okay, so from that point, we went to counseling. We had a couples counselor, and we also had a group counseling where we went through how to be married and what type of things, how to treat each other, communication, stuff like that. And in the interim, we're still separated. We are still separated, and we started the counseling, and then he quit that. And he said, "We can't afford to pay for this anymore." I said, "After COVID."
Okay.
So what's
the problem now? Why are you calling us? Help me understand.
Well, because I'm sorry. I know it's a long story, and I'm sorry.
Why? What can we help you with? Ask us a question.
The question is, I no longer feel that he still wants to reconcile, and I'm kind of over chasing him.
Yeah. Okay.
So, because
what's the question? What is the question, though? But you have to ask me a question. What's the question? You can do it. Start with a what or how or why.
The question is,
there you go.
Should I continue to pursue this with reconciling this marriage when he's not participating?
Well, here's what I think. I don't think he was ever interested in reconciling. I think he probably wanted the conveniences of home, and that's what he was hoping for, and that didn't happen. So it took him wanting to move back in for him to finally fess up and say he did it. And a guy that betrays a wife of 6 years, if he is not saying to you, "What do you want me to do to make it right?" If he's not saying that, and he's been unfaithful, and Jesus said, it is just fine for you to divorce someone that can't stay faithful to you. I would seriously be questioning whether there is any type of marriage there, and I would really be the exception than the rule that he is going to turn this around. Jill, what are you thinking here?
Well, yeah, I think that he didn't realize what it would take, and that it does take that. You know, I'm thinking of the book Worthy of Her Trust would be a good resource for him to at least give him that, and then say, I'm going to let you do some of the pursuing for this marriage. And I would tell him, I'm this is what I want, but I'm not going to chase you. But I'm not going to settle for less than a healthy, committed relationship where we're both working equally as hard.
Yeah. Mylon, your thoughts here? I mean, do you?
Well, I would agree. You have to decide how long you want to, quote unquote, wait. How long do I want to wait? And you may even want to start with a separation or a divorce proceedings. I think we must assume that he has been unfaithful with such a trip. The second thing would be, you need full disclosure from him. Mm-hmm. He needs to tell you everything that he has crossed the line all the way back before he ever met you. What has his life been like with respect to other females and promiscuity and pornography and all those different things? So you should require a lot of him for him to earn his way back to you.
We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We will do another program after this, so you could call us right now, 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000, and get on this next program right off the bat there. So we've been talking with Alice, and Alice, I do want to say this before we finish this. it is always, we believe, worth a shot at the marriage intensive. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, we've seen people that hated each other or weren't interested in working or whatever. It turns around when they get around other people that maybe feel the same way, and they're hearing this information maybe for the first time they've ever heard this information, and then had to work a little bit on the problem. So hold on, I'm going to tell you more about that. I'm going to send you Worthy of Her Trust, and I'm going to send you, for you to read, Healing is a Choice. I think it'll help you there, and I'm really sorry for what you've had to go through. Really, really tough. All right, let's go. How about we talk with Kathy? Kathy's calling from Melissa, Texas, and listens on Sirius XM, channel 131 at 12 Texas time. Hi there. How are you, Kathy?
Hi, guys. Hi. Well, I want to say good afternoon for me. I think it is for you guys, too, and I appreciate y'all being here.
Thank you.
So I'm going to try to be really quick. I am a recovering alcoholic, and I have almost 9 months sober.
Good for you. Wow.
But thank you. With God's help and the program, definitely. So prior to this, when I was in my alcoholism, it was a little over 5 years, basically. It was pretty bad. My husband stuck with me through it all. I did a lot of things I'm not proud of, and I'm working on that with God, my shame and guilt for the things that I did. My husband is agnostic, and I've, found my relationship with Christ again, and it's been wonderful. And I got baptized a couple of weeks ago. And I guess I should have started by saying, I felt like we were very distant during my alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And now, that I'm in recovery between church and my program, and I feel like we don't share anything in common now either. My baptism, he did not come to my baptism. I prayed a lot about it. I know I can't change his heart. God has to do that. And everybody just keeps telling me to keep praying for, the Lord to open his heart and to know him.
Okay, so what's the question for us then?
Basically, they say not to make any big decisions, during your first year in recovery. I love him very much, but I guess I just feel such a distance, and I just feel like we have nothing. I feel like I'm living with a roommate at this point.
Okay.
So, we have not been intimate in a very, very long time.
I'm so sorry about that. Well, let us try to give you some help here, because he hasn't been unfaithful, right?
No, I was the one that was unfaithful.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So I would hate to see you not have biblical grounds for divorce, and absolutely go slowly, because you're different. And so you have to give someone like him the opportunity to adjust to your difference. And it really hasn't been that long, but
it really hasn't. And I think it is good advice to not make major decisions within the first year, Kathy, and you're almost there. Mm-hmm. I think I would want to be asking him, husband, what's it like for you? I was drinking all the time, and now I'm in recovery. What is this like for you? And I would be saying, I realize we have a lot of ground to make up. And it feels like, just because you've gotten sober, Kathy, it doesn't make you guys have instant relationship. There's a lot of patterns that happened over those 5 years. And in some ways, for some spouses, perhaps your alcoholism worked for him. We don't know, right? And he may not know what to do with you now that you're not drinking. And so I wonder about Al-Anon for him. Is he willing to do that? He doesn't have to be a Christian to do that.
I'm sorry. I did actually mention Al-Anon to him, and he said he doesn't believe he needs it.
Okay.
And I tried, offering a program at my church, and he did come. It's for couples. Mm-hmm. And it did not go well. So, yeah.
Right. You know, Kathy, Jill's onto something here that I'd like to hitchhike on, Jill, your idea that for you see, you helped to create this distance. The very right. distance that you don't like, you helped to create. Now, yeah, I don't know what happened before when you started drinking, you know, and alcohol became a dominant part of your life. I don't know what your marriage was like there, but it's evident that you guys don't know how to have conversations. And what I would do is I would do really what Jill is suggesting. I would sit down and say, tell me the ways that I have hurt you. Tell me the ways that I have distanced myself from you. You see, your question leads me to believe that you're getting impatient with the distance. And how long do I put up with this before I leave? It is kind of what I'm hearing. I don't, because you're saying, I don't want to be this distance. And we haven't had sex, and we haven't all these different ways. Yeah, you're right. And Jill has a great point. Maybe he was glad to have you distant with alcohol. I don't know what's going on with your husband. But what you need is not just a church class on marriage. What you need is you need a place where the two of you can go and talk about how you've hurt each other and ask if we can start something new and what are the feelings that I created in you and what are the feelings you created in me. And something, Kathy, made you start drinking. I don't know what that was either. So we really have to stop, and you need to be in with a therapist that is well-trained with addictions and someone that really knows how to make couples work hard mm-hmm. to not just solve problems of what we're going to do about this or that, but how do I make you feel?
Yeah. Let me also, again, it sounds like all marriage here, but many people that are agnostic, we've had Jewish folks, we've had atheists come to the marriage intensive, and I've asked some of them, now, did this work for you? Was it offensive? And because it is a Christian program, and they said no, it was. They were really surprised. So, if he would come to this mm-hmm. marriage intensive, both of you would gain some great insight. So, just to sum up, we are saying to you, please don't leave him, and do dig in with questions, not intimidating questions, but really wanting to know how it felt. And what does he think might be helpful?
Right, and Kathy, because whether you ultimately stay together or not, this work needs to be done.
Yeah.
Right? This is part of your growth in being intimate in relationship, is yeah. asking these questions.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Kathy. And I will send you How We Love, and I'm going to send Take Your Life Back, and I think he might even enjoy reading Take Your Life Back. If you need some help, the number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have a matching fund, and anybody, gift of any amount, we send you Steve Poe's book, Creatures of Habit. You'll love that book. Also, this Saturday, Every Man's Battle, and right now, if you want to join us on the next program, 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Mylan. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and
thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.